what you're looking forward to when the new church school campus is completed.
I'm looking forward to just the schools and the big church, and more so just the neighbors and the community out there that the Lord can reach out to so many people that are not saved and doesn't know God. And in IA, I think it's so long waiting for a good church, and a church like Calvary, just the impact that it will have in that area. I can't wait.
Well, at the church school campus, I'm looking forward to taking the whole family there just for day-long events.
Very much looking forward to sending our two kids to school there and serving the Lord with them.
I'm looking forward to hanging out all Sunday afternoon with my family in our church park and picnic area.
Free parking! Free parking!
Looking forward to the new Bible college that we have in there. At the new church, I'm praying that people will be blessed and in the Proceed in IA area, and that there'll be a resurgence of new believers.
There are many things that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to all the souls, all the new souls that are going to get saved. I'm looking forward to the big, big, big children's classrooms. That's going to be a blessing, and just everything the Lord's going to do.
At the new church, I'm looking forward to meeting new people and just being able to be a light to the community in that area. So we're just excited to see what God's going to be doing.
When we go to the church property in IAEA, the most thing I'm looking forward to is definitely the growth that will happen with the children as we have the expansion of all the land and all the activities that the kids can get involved, because they are the light of our future.
And when we get to IA, I'm looking forward to having my kids go to the new church school campus and just having a great education that they can benefit from to glorify God. And we're also looking forward to fellowshipping at a brand new place and getting to meet new people.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again, free parking.
I'm looking forward to being able to let people know a really safe place that they can enroll their kids to school in. And I'm looking forward to the outreaches that our church is going to be able to do in a brand new community. And I'm looking forward to the testimonies that we are going to hear about what God has done in us and through us from the community.
Paul the Apostle is into sports. He always talks about running the race. So I'm just fully stoked that we're going to have a place where we can do everything at, work out, and praise the Lord all in one area. So that's what I'm stoked about.
I'm really excited and looking forward to our new church sanctuary, because I know that God will do a greater work there also, which He also did here in Honolulu. But there's a big community out there to reach with the gospel, and I just know I am expectant to see God's great work being done in IAEA.
We can't wait for the new coffee lattes.
Aloha. I've been asked to speak about the 20-year anniversary here at Calvary Chapel of Honolulu on the Komamai campus since I've been here that long. Boy, there's a lot to say, but first, I just want to talk about the faithfulness of God, particularly in the school ministry. When we first started here, we had 21 students, and now we have grown to about 210 students. And we had an original staff of 5 individuals, the secretary, myself, and 3 teachers. Now we've grown to a staff of over 17 members and with support staff. And we see how God has been faithful regarding that. I remember in our school, we had a dirt field. It was not grass as we see it today. The gymnasium was a storage area as opposed with a cement floor, as opposed to what we have now with the bleachers and the nice sports court. Also, we've always had the classrooms and things. But again, God's been faithful. I see that also with the other areas of the campus. We didn't have a baptismal before in the baptismal area. We had a planter, a very nice planter. And we didn't have the back awning either. Again, as we put our face toward the Lord and as we seek Him, I'm sure the Lord will continue to bless us and He will continue to add to our staff in regards to the need that for the calling here at Calvary Chapel. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Congratulations, Pastor Bill and Danita. It's been 20 years since we were in downtown Honolulu at the Empress Theater and now at this wonderful location here at Komomai in Aiea. Much appreciation goes to the faithful shepherding in building the church, and especially for this the vision that we had for expanding the grounds for fellowshipping. Blessings and congratulations again.
Hi, Pastor Bill and Auntie Danita. I can't believe it's already been 20 years here at this campus. I still remember doing Kids for Christ at the old church, and I'm just so thankful and blessed for the CCCH ministry. And I'm actually the 4th generation to be just to be saved through this ministry, and I'm very thankful just for the opportunity to go to the school and to actually now to be teaching here. Thank you. Bye.
How's it? This is Kara, aka Miss O'Neill, and I just wanted to say to Pastor Bill and to Danita, congratulations on 20 years here at our Komomai campus. I remember it being a big dirt lot with bushes and jungle, and look at what our God did. Look at what God's people are capable of when they follow His will and when they're obedient. It's just amazing. Such a blessing to still be a part of it after all these years and be a teacher here at our school. My mom told me a cool thing the other day, a memory that she had was that when she was pregnant with me was her first time serving in the Sunday school. This is back in the 70s at Sunset Beach Elementary, and she said she was up high with me, so I jokingly told her that I was born serving at Calvary Chapel. And here I still am. So God bless you guys. Thank you.
Aloha to all of you, Pastor Bill and Anita. Okay, you know me, I go back 1982, McKinley, and then we traveled all over Honolulu until we got to the Empress Theater when my family and I left in 2000, and now this place, and you've been here 20 years, praise the Lord, keep it up, look back and remember, and praise God, and look forward and go for it. Aloha.
Happy 20th anniversary, Komomai.
We wish to thank Pastor Bill and the staff for their dedication and steadfastness. Blessings to everyone.
Hey guys, wow, 20 years on the Komomai campus. It's just incredible to think about all of the good things that the Lord has done during that time. I think about what Pastor Bill's always saying is that it's not about perfection, but it's about direction. And truly the direction of Calvary Honolulu has always been one of faithfulness to teaching His word and to loving God's people well. And I feel so humbled to have been a recipient of that ministry for so many years. The influence in my life in ministry and just in building up and equipping for every aspect of life has just been really unmatched for anything else. And I'm so grateful to continue to participate in this ministry and to hear more about the good things the Lord's gonna do in the future.
Yeah, Calvary Chapel Honolulu holds a special place in our heart. That's actually where I met Kelsey. I chased her down after a Sunday evening service, and I chased her down in the parking lot and I asked her out to coffee. And like any good Christian girl, she said, no. But my mom got saved at Calvary Chapel Honolulu when it was down in Nu'uanu. And from there, we followed Pastor Bud out to the east side of Oahu. And now here where we are in Idaho. But if you follow back our roots down, it goes to Calvary Chapel Honolulu. And so we have this rich heritage there. And we just want to celebrate with you guys. Happy 20 years. We are with you there in spirit. And we pray a blessing over you guys. Love you guys.
We love you.
Aloha Calvary Chapel family. And on behalf of the Marquis, we just want to extend a great thanks giving for our fellowship. Pastor Bill, Danita, Ed, Kathy, just your faithfulness and consistency and steadfastness. Even as staffs come and go, people come and go. There's one thing from 1992 when I first went to Calvary to this past Sunday or Wednesday night. God's word is going to be taught verse by verse, precept upon precept, Old Testament, New Testament. And we just thank you so much. And we see the fruit here in Honolulu. And so we want to celebrate with everybody. And on behalf of the Marquis of Ohana, we want to say,
how's it, Calvary Ohana? It's Brennan here. Just wanted to say congratulations on 20 years in the IAA location. It's been so cool to see the changes of that place as someone who literally grew up there, going there from children's ministry to Rise Teens, and then of course being able to work there a couple years ago until last year. It's just been an awesome place that has been a blessing to me, my family, and I know lots of other families on the island as well. I also wanted to give a special shout out to Pastor Bill Stonebreaker and just the vision of leading your people, of course, taking step of faith after step of faith. I know that he told us a lot about looking over that plot of land when it was just halakoa and dirt, and just being able to have the vision of, hey, there's going to be a church here, and this is going to be a place where God's sheep can come and eat spiritually, and of course, physically. We know we love the cafe and all the other amenities that we have there, the school, of course. I think of even the baptismal. How many people have been baptized on that campus? So thank you so much, Pastor Bill, for your vision, your willingness to step out and do what God has called you to do. It's a great example for us. So thankful for you. So thankful for the church body and being there for, you know, the 20 years here. Congratulations, everybody. Enjoy that time together. Love you all. Miss you all. Aloha.
Hey, happy anniversary, Pastor Bill, Danita. 20 years here on the campus here in IAA. Just been truly a blessing. Obviously, we are on the receiving end of what God has done in your lives. And personally, I'm just grateful for the last 15 years that I've been here in this ministry. To just be a pastor here on staff under your leadership has been a blessing. I think one of the best things that I've learned under you is the level of grace that you extend to people has been, you know, it's taught me a lot. Coming from the Marine Corps, I had a quick decision making, and I learned a lot just from watching how you deal with people in different situations and the love that you extend to them. God bless you. I appreciate you so much.
Happy 20th birthday. Amazing. It's hard to believe. That thing I was thinking about this morning is that there was a big, I think maybe a 15th birthday downtown, because there was a whole different ministry there and years of legacy and amazing work the Lord had done. And here we are with another milestone. And happy birthday. Thank you, Pastor Bill and Danita. Your faithfulness has benefited so many people, you know that, but we ride on the coattails of your obedience to your calling, and we celebrate with you. I remember walking this campus with you, Bill, when you found that plumb line, and It was just dirt, hadn't even been graded yet. And now the Lord has kept that plumb line upright, and the ministry is going strong because you stay in the Word, because you follow Jesus. And you guys are just wonderful blessing to the whole body. But it's not all about you, I know that. But we still want to give you thanks. And so praise the Lord for what He's done. So happy birthday, Calvary Chapel.
Aloha. Woo. Aloha.
Hi, Dad. Mom. You know, we were thinking about these 20 years that you've been there at Calvary Chapel in Iaea, and all the good things the Lord has done through you guys over the years. Of course, I have more than 20 years watching and observing you guys minister, and what a great example you've been. So we wanted to give you a message of blessing and encouragement in all that you continue to do. You know, the scripture tells us that it's possible for us to bear fruit in our old age. Now, that doesn't apply to you, Dad or Mom, because you're not old yet, but it's always something for us to strive for when we're younger, to bear fruit in our old age. And I remember, you know, we'd go down there and we'd weed whack that property before, and, you know, Dad, you were amazing at providing vision for others, you know, having it yourself. And I've learned from that, and I'm so grateful to have you as a mentor and a model for the ministry. And we just love to carry on that tradition. Your fruit is being born here with us in Idaho.
Yep. So happy 20th anniversary. We love you guys. We miss you. And we can't wait for you to come here and be with us as well and see all the good things the Lord is doing. But we love you guys, and have a wonderful time celebrating.
Why don't you tell them something about my mother, how wonderful she is?
Oh, she's amazing. She teaches about the Proverbs 31, but she truly is.
She lives it.
She lives it. She serves. She is never one to sit down and be served. She's always in the kitchen cleaning up, whether it's just at home after us or after an entire women's ministry event. She loves, she has the wisdom of not only the Word of God of all these years, but of the Holy Spirit. So
Calvary Chapel in Honolulu, be blessed under the gracious guidance that the Lord's given you through Pastor Bill and Danita. And thanks, Mom and Dad, for being such a great example. We love you.
Bye. Love you guys.
How many were with us only when we got here to Komomai? All right, yeah. Well, I don't know if I want to hold this to speak, but I wanted to maybe give you a little bit of do a little journey down memory lane a little bit. But one of the things I want to encourage you in, as we're encouraged in this 20 year, is just an act of faith. Chuck always taught us to take ventures of faith. Sometimes ventures of faith, you know, there's a real risk involved. I mean, you could really succeed or you can really fail in that. But sometimes even failure, you know, pushes you on to succeed. And I think all of us, we've had those failures. But, okay. Is that not very loud, is it? Yeah, okay. One of the things we see in Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the Hall of Faith, because you have men and women of God who do feats of faith. And it never talks about some of their failures, which is really interesting. So when you think in heaven, you think some of your failures, no, God doesn't look at that. He just looks at you in those things that you do for Him in faith. And one of the things we have, one of our heroes of the faith, you might say, is Abraham. And one of the things Abraham did that I've always been encouraged to do is step out in faith. And sometimes you don't have anything there to hold you up. It's just you have a sense, a desire of the Lord to just do something for the Lord, so you jump out there. And when God spoke to Abraham, one of the things that He said in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know when he went out where he was going to go. He just went out, and then God led him. We're led by the Spirit. We don't always know the next step. We know one step at a time. We know one day at a time. And then God, you know, He gives us that day, and then we have the next day. But it's always in faith. And one of the things that I did is we came over here in 1967, before probably half of you were born. I don't know, but 1967, and I worked for Greg Knoll Surfboards, and he was one of the largest surfboard manufacturers at that time. And so I came over to start my own surfboard business. And we had one child, our oldest daughter, and my wife and myself, and we came and we had $750 that we came over with to get a house, to get a car, to get a surfboard shop, and to start the business. And so, you see, sometimes we step out in faith, and it doesn't necessarily have to be as a Christian. I mean, you find that you maybe you started a business, or maybe you did something and you stepped out in faith in doing that. But then we step out in faith for the Lord. If we step out in faith for our secular things, why would we not step out in faith for the Lord? One of the things that I determined when I got saved is I thought, I want to glorify God greater than I glorified Satan when I was in the world. And so as we stepped out in faith and came to Hawaii and started the surfboard business, and then I got saved down in Waikiki. And so we were out in the North Shore. The very first Bible study I went to, Jake, our radio manager, our pastor, he wasn't even born, nor was Kara, who works in our school. It was at a house there in Wailua, Kevin and Janet O'Neill's house. I remember going in there, and I was kind of freaked out because it was a Bible study, a bunch of nice people, and I wasn't really a nice guy, but it was like that was the beginning. And then went there a couple times, and they said, well, you know, we can't do the Bible study here any longer. And I said, well, let's do it at my house. Now, my wife wasn't even saved. And so then next week we did it at our house, and my wife was out playing softball. She was a softball player. And when she came into the house, here were all these young people. I was about 27 at that time. Here was all these young people jammed into our house. She looked around. She didn't know what was going on. And so that was kind of the beginning. And then not much longer after that, she got saved. But we started in the home, and then we found that we thought, well, let's do a Sunday, because that was just a home Bible study. We said, well, let's do Sunday morning. So we did it. If you know the North Shore at all, if you could go way back when, we did it at Mad John's Court. Anybody remember Mad John's Court? Any of you? Okay, some of you. It's where all the surfers hung out. And I never even met Mad John. I don't know why they called him Mad John, but he must have been kind of a nut guy. So we were out there and we did the first service. But the problem was I was like this teaching, and the people, we probably had about 30 people that were watching me, but they were also watching Sunset Beach, and the surf was good. And all the surfers were looking at me, and then they were pointing at the waves and stuff, and I couldn't keep their attention. So that was the Sunday morning. And then we found that not just that, but we had a good friend. He was managing Waimea Falls Park. We went into Waimea Falls Park with all the guinea hens and the peacocks. Ah, 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 ah. And then you're trying to preach with that. And the ushers were shooing the guinea hens out of the aisles. And so that was our beginning. And then we went to Sunset Beach Elementary School. They did an article of our church in one of the papers there. And so we had a lot of young people coming out. They said there are the pastor, because I had just jeans on and a shirt and I had a big beard back then. Actually, the video, if you see the video, the guy with the big beard with the hair, that was me. But that was a long time ago. That was 50 years ago. And they did the article and they said, and the pastor got up and he looked like somebody out of the Old Testament. He had jeans and he had a big beard. And then I made a couple comments about, I don't even know what. And the people laughed. And then the article went on. And it said, and there were big strapping men, surfers, and young, beautiful, tanned women at the service. And I thought, oh, great. Now we're going to have all the guys coming out looking for the women and the women looking for the guys. You know, we're a church. And so we did that. But then, you know, we felt like people were coming from town and they were driving all the way out to the North Shore to come to service. And we thought, after 10 years of being out there and pastoring in 82, we thought, why don't we do the church? Why don't we do a church in town? So we came into town. We started the church at the high school at... McKinley. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Here, one of our ushers at McKinley. We started at McKinley, and it just so happened Don McClure was there at that time. And I said, the very first Sunday at McKinley, I said, Don, why don't you preach? And so Don preached that Sunday, and I thought, that's great. And ever since, Don said that he started the church in Honolulu because he preached that first sermon. So Don and Gene are such great friends of ours. They'll be over here for our conference. But then after that, we went to Punahou School. We were in Punahou School. And actually, in the video, you could see a shot of from the balcony of Punahou. It was quite, you know, quite a great venue for us. But eventually, we got kicked out of Punahou because they said we were overrunning their campus. So then we went to the Ruger Theater. One thing about the Ruger Theater, they always do plays. And so whenever they did a play, they would have the scenery in the back. It would be different. And so if you were there at the Ruger Theater, you noticed that. I remember one time our secretary at K-Lite, I said, why don't you do this? Because I've got a message and I want the people to react to it. I said, I want you to dress up like a bag lady, like a street person, and I want you to knock on the side door. Now, the side door, the pulpit was like here. The people were just like you out in the Ruger Theater, if you've been there, and the door was right here. So she was knocking on the door, and the usher opened the door, and here she came in. A couple people knew what I was going to do, and I said, I want you to walk up the aisle and look like you're looking for a seat, and then I want you to walk down the other aisle like you're looking for a seat, and then I want you to sit down right in front with one of our plants, one of our guys. They didn't even recognize who he was. He had his hair slicked back. He had a suit on, and he had a tie. And she sat right next to him. And so I was just making small talk, you know, before I started the message. And then he got an usher, and he was whispering to the usher, and I said, what's the problem? And the usher came up, and I had a lapel mic, and I put my hand over it, but I wanted people to hear it. And I was repeating what he was saying. Oh, he doesn't want her to sit next to him? He's come over here. He's heard about our church. He wants to make an offering. Okay, move her. Move her then. Some of the ladies that were ushers, they were ready to come up and just give me what for. And so after that, the people were just bummed out. I said, stand, take a bow, and then I introduced them. And I said, if you'll notice in the bulletin, the title of the message is People I'd Rather Not Sit Next To in Church. What was your reaction when she walked through? One of the guys afterwards, he said, Bill, I feel like you deceived me. Because when I come to church, I feel like what you say, you know, I'm taken in, and I feel like you deceived me. I just thought, to me, it was, you know, it was something kind of a visual, kind of a thing where you could preach a message, but when people's hearts are really exposed. Now, I don't know who maybe, you know, pulled back from her sitting next to them, but it was quite an interesting thing at Ruger Theater. But then we moved for downtown in the Empress Theater. It was a kung fu theater. People would come up to me and say, you know, the last time I was in this theater, I was watching a kung fu movie. And so five different churches looked at that. And if you remember back in those days, this was in the late 80s. This is right where, you know, all the homeless hung out and all the prostitutes. And and all, and they looked at it. They didn't want it. They thought it would scare their people away. When I heard that, I thought, oh, are you kidding? I mean, people shouldn't scare the church away. The church should go in there and bring the people in. So we bought that, and just the incredible ministry that was done there, just unbelievable. When we left after 15 years, we were down there 15 years because we were always looking for a property because we wanted to do a school, and that was just a theater. Actually, the whole property could fit in our sanctuary. It was 8,000 square feet of property, and inside here is about 10,000, the whole thing. So, and then you had to pay for parking because parking wasn't free down there. And so on the video, you see free parking. No, that was one of the comments. But we found this property, and our real estate guy, he was showing us all sorts of properties that, you know, didn't work out. And we got kind of discouraged because we thought, well, not discouraged. I'm not saying that. Not discouraged, but we just can't find it. How are you ever going to find space enough that doesn't cost millions and millions of dollars, you know, and actually survive? And so the real estate agent, who he wasn't a Christian, but he loved the church. He just really admired what God was doing. And he said, Bill, I've got a property that I want to show you. And what are the parameters? From what areas do you want to be? And I said, well, you know, I don't know. We're just open. And he said, well, let me show you this property in Aiea. And so he came up here. We looked at it. There was a sign here. And I looked at it and I went, huh, how much? And he said, well, it's 6 acres. Is it 6 or 5 acres? I forget. I think it's 6 acres. Huh? No, I don't think it's seven. It's six. Because the property over there is ours as well. I mean, half of it over there across the creek there, and part of it is the Church of God's property. But looked at it, and the price was $1.2 million for 6 acres. We offered them $800,000, and they took it. So we thought, Lord, you're doing good. And this place was all Halicoa everywhere. Hold that thought just a minute. I have something to show you. When we walked the property, you could hardly even see the ground. And we're walking here, and I remember one of the guys, because it's kind of a cliff, but you couldn't see the cliff. All of a sudden, he slid down the cliff. We said, Where'd he go? And then finally, he climbed up the cliff, and he said, I got to go home. You know, so he went home. And I found this, we call it a plumb bob, but it measures. I found this on the ground. Incredible condition. Yeah, surveyor. But in Amos chapter 7, verse 8, God talks about Israel, how he's going to use a plumb bob to measure them so that they're straight. A straight wall, not a crooked wall. And I thought, I don't know if you believe in signs and wonders. I don't know if you believe in miracles, but I saw this as God saying, you know what? I'm going to set a plumb line. I'm going to set a straight line with the people in this area to hear the word of God. So this I keep in my office. This is part of the Halicoa. Yeah. This is part of the Halicoa. And when I told the church, we said, the property here, we want to get it, and I've got this, you know, this is kind of a walking stick, but here a date is here. It's March 20th, the year 2000. And I said, church, this was when we were downtown, the Empress Theater. I said, church, this is like our Ebenezer Stone, the Stone of Remembrance. I said, this we got in our property. And when we dedicate that property, I'm going to bring this out as a sign of faith that we're going to go in there and build this out. So I wanted to cast the vision for the people that they could be a part of this. And I said, when we dedicate it, I'm going to bring this stick out and show how faithful God is. Well, the dedication, and you can see some of the guys in the dedication. I dated this, but I also dated, I said, fulfilled May 16th, 2004. That's when we dedicated it. May 16th, 2004. 20 years we've been here. How God has been so, so faithful. I just encourage to take steps of faith. Take, you know, whatever it might be. I know sometimes we hold back and we think, we don't have the ability. We don't, you know, I'm not very influential. I'm not very important. I'd mentioned this morning about the moon, and I mentioned how it's almost 240,000 miles away from the Earth, and it has no light of itself. It has no heat of itself, but the sun shines on it. And so it in itself, it doesn't seem much, but silently and incredibly, it moves the oceans of the Earth with that gravitational pull. And I think a lot of us don't think that we have much talent. Maybe we don't have much influence and we're not very popular. But the Bible, Jesus tells us to let your light shine so that others might see your good works and glorify God in heaven. So you might be like the moon. You know, there's not really much in you. But I'll tell you, when that sun shines on you, when the light of the Lord shines in you and through you, you find that you may not know it, but people are watching, people are seeing, people are looking. And I think the only time that we're really going to know all that God did in and through our lives is when we're in heaven with Him. And He goes, wow, you know, people come up and say, wow, I saw you. I was in the neighborhood. I was in the market with you. I was at school. I was at work. And you didn't say much. And you didn't necessarily witness to me, but I knew there was something different about you. And you know, later down the line, somebody gave me a track and I read it and I got saved. And I just want to tell you that you were that light that really showed me that there's something different in people. And you were that difference. Amen? Yeah. Hey, let's pray. And I think we're going to do some more worship. And then if you want to see that video, you can. It goes all the way back from the North Shore and it comes all the way here. And you can see the whole build out of this place.
We're going to do communion too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in communion. Let's do communion right now. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, communion. Usually Sunday, first Sunday of the month is communion time. So we're going to pass that out as we pray. Father, we do want to thank you so much, Lord, for that ministry you've done in and through us. And Lord, it's uncomfortable to be pointed to because all glory be to you, great things you have done. And yet we like to point to the giftings that you've given people. Maybe it's just a visionary. Lord, they just jump out there in faith and then you collect all the people that have got the wisdom, that have got the smarts to pull off the different elements of what you want to do. And so it's really an every person kind of thing and ministry that you do. And we thank you for that not anyone receive glory and honor for it, but all glory go to you. So Lord, we do pray that just as we worship you in the time of communion, and maybe it's a restart for many, Lord, just a coming into a fresh and abiding relationship with you. Maybe some have been away for a while. Others, boy, they've been close. And this is going to be good. Lord, it's just going to be a heartfelt love for you this evening. Lord, so we do just want to thank you so much, Lord, for that work of your ministry, that work that you do in each and every life. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pass out the communion. We're going to worship the Lord. I'll come back up and I'll pray for all of us.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not
Everybody get the elements? All right. The Bible tells us as Jesus was with his disciples, and while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Father, we thank you so much for the lives that you've touched, Lord, through our lives. Lord, we thank you for the churches that are represented here that have come out to celebrate what is happening here in this campus and on this campus. But Lord, we know that you reach out so far with so many people, and we thank you that we could be a part of your body, oneness in Christ Jesus, in that unity. Lord, we pray that love would just permeate our lives. The greatest of all is love. And Lord, we need that so bad in our hearts, Lord, that we might love our brothers and sisters, and we might love this dying world to preach your gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you could bring them out of darkness into light. Lord, so we celebrate all that you've done, Lord, for us as we partake of this bread. It's bread that is unleavened, leaven a type of sin. And Lord, you are our sinless Savior. It's bread that is pierced because you were pierced through for our iniquity. Lord, you took upon yourself the pain and the penalty that was due us. And it's bread that is striped because by your stripes we're healed. Lord, you've touched our life in all aspects of our life, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. So we thank you for that healing touch that you bring upon us, Lord. And we pray that you do that this evening in those that need a special touch from you. So we thank you, Lord, for this bread representing your body. Let's partake together. Lord, we thank you for the cup, and it represents the blood that was shed for our sins. We can't die for our own sins. There's no person that has ever been born on earth that could shed their blood for the sins of others. Only Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Son of God. Lord, so we thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice for us, sinless blood flowing through our sinless Savior. And Lord, by our believing, our trusting, our repenting of sin and turning to you for forgiveness, Lord, you've cleansed us and washed us once for all, not like the Old Testament sacrifices that only covered for a time, and then when they sinned again, they had to get another animal and sacrifice it and cover it with the blood. And Lord, not you. Once for all, you were sacrificed for our sins. And so we thank you for that cleansing, that washing, that new life that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, so we thank you and we praise you and we give you honor. Let's partake of the cup together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.